series on the Blessed Hope, and we started with the distinction between the rapture and the actual second coming in Titus 2, 13 and 14. Now we come to our next text. It's going to take about 4 weeks to go through it, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Today, we're going to be looking at verse 16 and 17 of our text. The passage is all about describing the day when Jesus gathers his church to him in heaven. The passage is totally about encouragement and hope, not grief and confusion. And I shared with you last week why the Thessalonican believers were grieving, because their theological ignorance of what Paul had told them about. We look at a review of our outline. You see it on the text on the screen. First of all, we looked last week at verse 13, a fundamental question. What happens to Christians who die before Jesus returns? And then we looked at a foundational truth in verses 14 and 15. The foundation for what our hope is and what we believe is the gospel. We saw that in verse 14 and 15. But we want to pick up in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 4 and talk about a future promise. Jesus is coming back. All the ills and the failings of this world will be made right. The curse will be lifted. No more surgeries like this will be needed when Jesus Christ comes again. So, if you will, you can remain seated if you will, but I want to read to you verse 16 and 17 this morning. For the Lord himself shall descend. Well, let's back up to verse 13. You might have missed the others. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep is Paul's word for death. The body is asleep, the spirit and soul is alive in the presence of Jesus. That you sorrow not as others who have no hope. So they had forgot one crucial teaching that Paul had taught them about the rapture. And he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See, their hope, Paul said, would be based on a theological foundation. Christ came and died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. For if you believe this, for if we believe. Now notice verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There's three groups of people in this text, and I remember what Merrill Coram used to say at every funeral. There are those without hope. There are those that are alive and remain in Christ, and there are those that are asleep in Jesus, right? And he says here, you are not to grieve like those who have no hope, because you have hope. Perfect love can cast away fear. God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Do y'all believe that, church? And then he says in verse 16 and 17, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, it is true. Y'all don't worry about time, right? I'm not going to give it all to you this morning. But we do. When we gather, we do need to preach the word. In verse 16 and 17, the word rapture, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to... The word rapture does not appear in the text, but the word comes from the Latin translation of the Greek word harpazo, which in the English is rendered caught up. You see caught up in the text there, which means to seize or to snatch away. It's a sudden, violent act when Christ comes and calls his church home. So people today and people then had many questions. Number one, will Jesus return before or after the tribulation or the day of the Lord? We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. They got that confused. They thought, as a letter from Paul, a false letter by the false teacher saying you're already in the day of the Lord, church has already gone to heaven and you missed it. We'll talk more about that tonight. Will you go to heaven to be with him or stay with him on earth? What's going to happen to the bodies of our dead loved ones that don't go in the rapture? And then third, another question that people have today, does the return cover two phases? And it does, the rapture and the second coming. And to answer all these questions, we look at our text. I want you to note, first of all, the certainty of his coming in verse 16. Notice that little word, shall. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember me telling you last week that we are in Christ when we got saved? You're in Christ now. Even when you fall asleep, your body falls asleep, die, you're still in Christ. Say it with me. I'm still in Christ when I die. I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not lose one of his children. So we see the certainty of his coming. He shall descend. It's interesting that 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament state that Jesus is coming. One out of every 30 verses in the New Testament speaks of his coming or something related to the end time events. The coming of Jesus was intended to be a reason for anticipation and motivation, not speculation and controversy as it is today, as it was with them. His return will be imminent, and we should be watching, waiting, expecting the day when Christ himself shall come for us. Note that word in verse 16. Himself. For the Lord himself. You see, if you were to die before the rapture, Luke 16 says there's a plurality of angels that take your spirit and soul to heaven. The Lord does not come back to this earth again until the rapture. People say, well, the Lord came for him. No, he didn't. He's not coming to the rapture. The Lord will send his angels, Luke 16, to gather you into his presence. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So we see the certainty of his coming. That's our hope. That's what we look for. I was just joking a while ago about the Georgia Bulldogs. I could care less if they win the national championship in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back. Amen? That is our hope. And then secondly, not only the certainty of his coming, look again at verse 16, the suddenness of his coming. And you bear with me as I read the text again, because every time we read it again, you'll see something else. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are loved ones who are in Jesus will come out of the grave first, and we who are alive and remain will be called up then together with them to meet the Lord in the air. There's no such hogwash as soul sleep. When you die, your spirit and body go into the presence of Jesus. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And Paul said to depart in Christ is far better, right? So there is no in-between. And the reasons why a plurality of angels escort your soul into heaven when you die is because not that God's going to lose you, but they're going to carry you right into the throne room of God, right there at the feet of Jesus. So the Lord's return will be imminent and sudden. No advance warning to this world. We talk about Jesus is coming, get right. But he could come for his church at any moment. There's no heads up. There's no notice. We're told in the text there's a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will give the shout of command. Church, come forth, maybe. Like he did with Lazarus, right? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and everybody else stayed in the grave because their name was not called. Lazarus, come forth. Church, come forth. Revelation 6:1. Church, come up hither. John was called up hither. That's a picture of the rapture of the church. And so the Lord himself will give the shout of command. And those who are his, we've heard his voice our whole Christian life, and we're going to hear his voice again. If we're dead when Christ comes, our graves are coming out of the grave, and we're going to be called up together with those that are alive and remain. And be in his presence. One thing we do know the voice of the Savior. Amen? And we're going to hear that. And he made this same point to the Corinthians. Now next week we're going to be preaching on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58. But I want to read to you verse 51 and 52 of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, Paul said, I show you a mystery. Now what is that mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's not a sign over the nursery. That's a sign that some of us are not going to die when Christ comes. We're going to be alive and remain. But he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. That's where we get our word Adam. And we'll look at that next week. in the twinkling of an eye, not the blinking of an eye. If I hear one more preacher say the blinking of an eye, I'm going to get up and slap him. It is the twinkling of an eye. It's the light hitting the iris, that little twinkle that you see when the light is just right. It's going to be so fast. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. It's not the last trump in Revelation. We don't go to the tribulation. This is the last trump in the church age. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those that are asleep in Jesus are coming out of the grave. God's going to bring the spirits and souls with him. There's going to be a union in the sky. They're going to be changed into a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who are alive, there's no resurrection for us. If we're alive, there is a translation for us. We're going up, and we're going to be changed as we're going up. And we're going to be with him forever. And then verse 16, Paul reveals two reasons. Y'all stick with me. It's all right to be late for lunch, right? If I can do it, you can do it. Amen? Look at verse 16. Paul reveals two reasons why Christians should be hopeful as we anticipate his coming. Number one, there's going to be a reunion. He said we're going to be caught up together. And they're going to go up, and then we're going up. There's going to be a reunion. In fact, there's going to be three reunions at the rapture. Number one, there's going to be the reunion of the dead in Christ, or those that are asleep in Christ, and they're going to be reunited with their spirit. Spirit goes into the presence of Jesus Christ. And you read that, we'll read that next week in 1 Corinthians 15, but Paul made it very plain in 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. There's no hyphen there. There's no purgatory. You go immediately into the Lord's presence. And then he also made that distinction in Philippians 1:23. Paul says that he knew he was going to die, and he made that statement. It's more needful for you that I stay here and minister to you, but to depart and be with Christ is far better. Did y'all hear me last week when I told you the Thessalonican church, their main problem was they could not understand biblical death from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. And so they had a problem. So you have, first of all, the reunion of those who are asleep in Christ with their spirit. Then you'll have those that are alive and remain. We'll be reunited with them. 1 John 3:2, we're going to be called up. We don't know how he looks now, but we're going to see him as he is. Because we'll have glorified bodies. We'll be able to look upon him. So there's going to be a reunion. Not only with the Lord Jesus Christ, but our loved ones. Those alive and those asleep will be reunited. All your loved ones that knew Jesus, you're going to see them again. There's going to be a happy reunion in heaven. And so when we stand around the graveside, there is no end. It's not the end. Death is not the final. As we'll see next week in 1 Corinthians 15, we have victory over death, right? And then not only is there a reunion, Paul says there's going to be relief. You see, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That is, we're taken out of here before the tribulation begins, before the Antichrist is revealed, before this peace pact is signed with the nation of Israel, and they falsely sign it thinking he's their Messiah, but they're going to be badly mistaken about mid-part of the tribulation period. So we believe Christ, and I'm not going to go into all the reasons why we believe that, but Revelation 3:10 is a good example of that. His coming brings deliverance from the persecution and the tribulation. Oh, yes, they're going to persecute the people of God all through the history of the world, but there's coming a day when they're going to be persecuted. Amen? And he's going to come, and he's going to judge his enemies. At the tribulation, he rescues us before the tribulation. At the second coming, after the tribulation, he comes to reign and to judge. Now, quickly, it's not 12:30 yet, but I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Now here is the actual second coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. Okay. All right, I know I wrote it down right. Yep, I wrote it down right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. But that's not it. Go to verse 6 of Revelation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. You who are listening by the internet, I had a senior moment. Look in verse 6 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians. Seeing then, it is a righteous thing which God to recompense the tribulation to them that trouble you. Folks, God, it does not go unnoticed all these years of persecution of his people, the Jews, as far as natural people. And it does not go unnoticed by our Lord, his persecution of all the martyrs through all the ages in the church right now. Because he says there, they trouble you. Notice what he said in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's his second coming. That's not the rapture. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a terrible day that's going to be for Christ's rejecters who have miscued the gospel and have denied the salvation by faith alone through Christ alone. And they're going to be just recompensed when they come. Now tonight, we're going to begin to look at the continue this thought of future promise, and we'll begin to look at the timing and the specifics of his coming. When will it happen? And how will it happen? And then tonight, we're going to finish our fourth point, a fitting conclusion. Our hope is secure. Say it with me. Our hope is secure. Amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this series of messages we're doing on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Lord, I pray our people won't miss a time. They won't be able to put the puzzle together. Is there ever a time we need to be in church? It's when we're going through this series. Are we looking for him to come? Are we ready? Have we repented of our sins and placed our faith in Christ alone for salvation? Is there any work that we're depending on? Or is there any person we're depending on outside the person of Christ? He is the source and he is the only source of our salvation because of his work on the cross 2,000 years ago when he paid our sins. Past, present, and future. The second death does not apply to us. Oh, yes, we need to confess our sins. As Brother Ray said this morning, not for relationship, but for fellowship. So we'll have the full reward when we get to heaven so that we can be used in this life so that we will be a good testimony to our church and to Jesus and our family and our usability. Help us to remain faithful to the end. That we may not lose, as John said, what was wrought in Christ, not our salvation, but our reward in its context. So, Father, I pray today if there's one here without Christ that is not sure, if they were to die today, I'm sure those worshipers of the Father in the synagogue, although they hadn't come to full truth yet, they were doing what was thought to be good for them. And we may be out there somewhere today. There may be somebody that burst through this door with a gun today. Or whatever it might be. Somebody might run over us this week. Do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt when we die, we're going to heaven? If we come any other way than Jesus, you don't have any assurance. So, Father, you do your will and purpose in this invitation. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.